Welcome to Showdown. I'm Mark Kaysen, and today is June 14th. Wow, what a big day it is. First of all, in a sense, it's just another day in broadcasting paradise. We'll get into all the reasons for that shortly, but it's also Donald Trump's birthday. Well, isn't that cute? Because I am so proud to be able to tell you that the stock market today delivered to Donald a very nice birthday present, one that he so richly, that's a good word, one that he so richly deserves. So his birthday present today was that his big stock that represents all of his net worth, because you know the man's broke, but he's got that stock hanging out there, and it was worth billions. But those billions are shrinking regularly, and today they gave him the biggest shrink of all in a long time. They took away from him about $400 million. Stock was down $3 today. Actually, on a day when the S&P 500 closed like an inch beneath its all-time high. But don't worry. When it comes to it's so funny, I love to say this. The Trump Media Company, that is so hysterical, the Trump Media Company, which is on its way to, I'm going to say, a dollar. I think it could get, you know, probably about a dollar a share. That sounds about right. So as it's on its way to a dollar a share, today it gave up $3 per share and finished the day at 37, down, of course, from 80. Still a little bit above the low that it reached recently in the 20s. But if you recall, or if you don't, at the time I said, as we got down to 22 and then bounced, that this is what we call in the stock market a dead cat bounce. And essentially a dead cat bounce amounts to this. You get up on the top of the Empire State Building, not Trump Tower. You get up on the top of the Empire State Building and you drop a cat from the top. And, you know, it will bounce just a little. Yeah. So that's what we got here. And by the way, I didn't make that up, so don't blame me. Wall Street's been calling this a dead cat bounce as long as anybody here that's listening or has listened or is even breathing. As long as we've all been here, it's been called that before then. So, yeah, I didn't make it up. It's not me against the cats. But, yeah, it's a dead cat bounce for Trump Media, whatever the heck that is, a company that has about $5 million in revenue last year. And in the 3 years of its existence, it's lost over $50 million because it actually has no business. It doesn't do anything. It's just a name. So the name lost about $400 million today, and that was Donald's birthday present. I appreciate that. You know, years ago when Donald got into the White House, there was another opportunity to get him a present, and it was his birthday, and a whole lot of progressives decided they would send books to the White House. If you sent a book to him for his birthday, then that would help him because, you know, Donald doesn't read, except for before he goes to bed at night, he does read the speeches of Adolf Hitler, according to his wife. So, yeah, you're going to have to talk to her. But at any rate, the deal is that you could send him a book for his birthday. And I did. I sent him a copy of one of my favorite books. This was a book by Abby Hoffman. I don't know if you remember Abby Hoffman. He was one of the lead hippies in the 1960s and 70s. And Abby Hoffman wrote a book, and the book was called Steal This Book. You know, Joe, that sort of reminds me of Cancel This Show. Steal This Book.
Why is that?
No, just the similar, you know, the cadence. You know, steal this book, cancel this show. Yeah, same, right?
Yeah. Same amount of syllables. Same,
yeah, very similar. Anyway, Steal This Book was a famous book by Abby Hoffman, which I did send to Donald in the White House, along with, you know, millions of other people who sent him these books because he doesn't read, except for the speeches of Adolf Hitler before he goes to sleep. And the thing about it is, and I really thought this was rude on his part, you know, if you send something to a president, they do acknowledge it and send you back just a short note. Nothing. Crickets. Didn't get one thing back from Donald, despite the fact that I sent him a birthday present directly to the White House. It's a nice present. Steal This Book was really a good book. Today they'd probably ban it or maybe burn it. But at any rate, back then, it was considered quite a great book, and you could get your hands on it. I bought it for him, and I sent it to him, and he didn't appreciate it. So this time, all these years later, I wish I could say I were responsible. I'm not responsible for it, but I'm certainly applauding his birthday present today, which was a $400 million loss, which, of course, he couldn't have afforded until he got this crazy company, which, you know, they call it a SPAC, Special Purpose Acquisition Company, and the SPAC is called Trump Media, even though it has no business whatsoever, just like he has no business in the White House whatsoever. But in any case, that was his present for the day, and I was pleased that he got that present. On actually, also, this is a little belated, but, you know, it's the 25th anniversary back in April of the shooting in Columbine. And so this is another present that Trump got today, and that is the Supreme Court decided that if you put a bump stock on an assault rifle, assault weapon, whatever you want to call it, I don't know anything about guns, and you put that bump stock on there, and then you pull the trigger. You only have to pull it once, and it will shoot repeatedly like a machine gun. Now, you know, we have a 1934 Act of Congress which banned machine guns. That was because, you know, back in the days of the crime families, anyway, you know what I'm talking about, and I'm not talking about Joe Biden either. But at any rate, back in the days of the crime families, they would come out, the criminals, and they would shoot everybody with machine guns. So, well, in the FBI especially. So what they did, Congress, is they passed a law against machine guns. And now, in 2024, the Supreme Court is arguing over what the definition of a machine gun is. And you can read, and believe me, this is easily acquired. You can pick this up. Go to the New York Times. You'll find the article. Click it, and you'll get a copy of the Supreme Court decision which was, of course, written by none other than Clarence Thomas. Gee, he doesn't write anything unless he's got something really bad to say. And of course, he did today because he went into this big explanation about how a bump stock is clearly not converting an assault weapon into a machine gun, even though it is. Even though it is, it's not. And this is supposed to be textualism on the Supreme Court. Now, isn't that sad? This is textualism. This is where you go back and you look at the language from way back in history, and then you just follow the language. Well, the language 90 years back banned machine guns. And everybody knows, as Sonia Sotomayor said today, that if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, then it's probably a duck. And that's the story on bump stocks added to assault weapons. They are machine guns. And by the way, if you'd like to talk to me about any of this, I've got everything hooked up nicely today. I pushed all the buttons right. The number is 314-471-1968. 314-471-1968. And you can call in here and you can talk to me all you want about your Second Amendment rights, of which you shouldn't have any, because the rights should belong to the militia, the well-regulated militia. Yeah, not just a bunch of ragtag guys out with a pistol. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. That's the Second Amendment. So that's, if you'd like to talk about the Second Amendment, call in. Your hero, Clarence Thomas, has supported your right to have a bump stock attached to an assault weapon, presumably so you can go shooting fish. I think that's what right-wing people do with bump stocks. They attach to a weapon, an assault weapon, and then they go out to the river and they shoot fish. I guess. That's my guess. The other possibility is that they go to Las Vegas and they shoot people down, and let's hope that's not what they've got planned. I think it's more likely that they use these bump stocks in order to be great fisher people. So, yeah, that's the story there. But if you'd like to talk about the Second Amendment, 314-471-1968. Now, the thing about this opinion today is that it is not really about the Second Amendment anyway. This is about something altogether different. Because in this case, what happened is that the ATF, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, the key, of course, being firearms, they had determined, you know, what machine guns were for this law that Congress passed in 1934. And the idea was that we would ban machine guns so that criminals, yeah, Donald's a criminal. Maybe not that kind of criminal. Believe me, if he wants to get somebody killed, he does it by himself. I mean, not by himself. He does it by turning it over to someone else. He does not do it by himself. I guess that's sort of like the other criminals, too. And I'll talk to you in a minute about who he killed, because he killed people. But at any rate, let's just, you know, get this straight, that ATF made its decision, and the Supreme Court reversed the decision of ATF. And it's not a Second Amendment case at all. Actually, it's a case that has to do with something else that I talk about all the time, And that's something called Chevron deference. Now, normally when I get on the air and talk about Chevron deference, people who I'm on the air with look at me and go, Kaysen, please don't do this. Everybody's going to turn the dial and get off of here and click, you know, that. But I understand it's sort of boring. But on the other hand, since it has to do with protecting your right to a gun, maybe you won't be so bored. And then the other thing is that in 2024, there's something that's actually called Project 2025. And that's supposedly, if Donald had a chance to win, which he does not, then they would implement this Project 2025, in which they would reverse what we call Chevron deference. So just so you know what Chevron deference is, back in 1984, the mother of Neil Gorsuch, her name was Ann Gorsuch, she was the head of the EPA. And as the head of the EPA, she had this theory that had to do with what we should be doing to protect the environment, the air, the water. And specifically, when I say Chevron, you might recognize it has to do with the oil company. And so what happened was that under Gorsuch, it was agreed by the Supreme Court, and it's actually still the law, and it was agreed that agencies of the government would be the appropriate people to figure out, like, definitions. What do things mean in various acts passed by Congress? So that those definitions could then help you to determine what these laws actually mean. So, for example, if the EPA said that an oil company has to protect the environment from the pollution that comes out of all of its whatever it's got over there when it's refining oil, when that happens, the decision as to how this law would be implemented would come from the EPA. It's that simple. Why wouldn't it? I mean, the EPA is the Environmental Protection Agency, so let them decide. They have the environmental experts. You wouldn't turn that over to the ATF. You would turn that over to the EPA. Now, as a result, that decision was called Chevron deference because you're deferring to the wisdom and expertise of government agencies. Of course, in 2024, Donald calls that the deep state. What a shame. What foolishness. What ridiculousness that we have come to such a conclusion that the people who are working for us, and when I tell you the people, tens of thousands of Americans, I'm not talking about South Americans, I'm talking about the United States of America, Americans. They work for these agencies, and under these agencies, they come up with decisions about how to implement the things that Congress wants to see occur. And under this Chevron deference, we have created unbelievable stability in the United States over 40 years because we know that these agencies make the decisions appropriately. And one example that I always use, and I use this in my classes, recently, when cell phones went to 5G, they had to put up some special towers. And when they put these towers up near airports, which they did, then somebody had to decide how you were going to regulate these towers so that they did not interfere with airplanes trying to land and get instructions from the tower, not the cell phone tower, from the airport tower. So, interestingly enough, I say interesting, it is interesting. So you got these towers, these 5G towers, and you got them next to an airport, and how are you going to decide who is going to protect our airplanes, which means the flying public? And of course, you know, a good answer would be probably the FAA. Yeah, the Federal Aviation Agency. You'd think they'd have something to say about it. And you'd think that they could probably get together with the FCC, Federal Communication Commission. And so you'd have these two government agencies that would sit down and sort out the problem so that all our airplanes didn't fall out of the sky as a result of 5G. Simple. You would expect that to be the answer. Only problem is, under the attempt to reverse Chevron deference, you have a bunch of crazies on the Supreme Court who would love to pull down the authority of these government agencies and create chaos in our lives, in our system, airplanes falling out of the sky, telephones interfering with signals going to airplanes. Why would you do this? Who would want to do this? Oh, yeah, we need to do this to stop the deep state, because otherwise they're going to get us. People are crazy. So here we are. The airplanes aren't falling out of the sky, and that's good. And it's because we still have Chevron deference. But believe me, there's an attempt underway to get rid of this, and fast. One of the ways was seen in this firearm case today, which was not a Second Amendment case. This was an agency case. Who gets to decide? So that's one part of it. There's a whole lot more coming. It's everywhere. You got a big gun case coming in the next couple of weeks from the Supreme Court, and we'll see what they say on this one. Because I can tell you right now that everything that can be done to kill agencies, that's what's being done. The tens of millions of great people in this country who go to work every single day working for our agencies and then being called names as if they were doing something wrong when they're trying to save your life. They have to deal with this. And you can see why I said from the outset today that this is sort of broadcast paradise, because honestly, these are things that are so consequential in all of our lives. Because if you take all the authority away from these agencies, you are going to put this country back in chaos. And if we don't start talking about this somewhere, well, this is what we'll get. We'll get chaos, because we'll get decisions about what a machine gun is made by Clarence Thomas? That's a guy that should be deciding what a machine gun is instead of ATF? Really? Listen, Clarence Thomas can't even figure out what to write down on a form when he's supposed to be disclosing how much money he gets in gifts. And by the way, I had mentioned a couple days ago that Clarence Thomas got $2.4 million in gifts over a period of 20 years when everybody else on the court together, all of the other justices together, came up with $200,000 in gifts. Clarence Thomas, $2.4 million in that period. But it turned out that my statistics were wrong. And, you know, there are a lot of people out here who do think that I come up with fake statistics. They think that my stories are fake and that Donald is the real thing. Of course, that's not true, but that's all right. You believe what you want. It is America, sort of. It, or it would be if we can keep that guy out of here. But the real point of all of this is that in 2024, we do know things like definitions. We know what guns are. We know what a machine gun is. We know what the deep state is and what it isn't. What it is nothing, because there is no deep state. So there is none at all. Isn't what it isn't is some delusion that Donald has. It's definitely not that. That's just his delusion. Nothing else. And yes, Michael reiterates my point here by saying, yes, it's all in Project 2025. An attempt to corrupt our entire government, which will fail because Donald Trump will not even get close to the presidency. How do I know that? How would I know that Donald Trump is not going to be president? Well, I'll tell you how. And this is just one example today of how I know. You ready? Because Donald Trump, in the middle of a presidential campaign, is out calling the city in which his party will be having a convention a horrible, horrible place. Of course, we're talking about Milwaukee. And here we have Donald right on top of his game. This is why people have said, and I love to repeat it, that everything Donald touches dies. That's how this works. So you got Donald, the head of the Republican Party, and he jumps up in front of everybody in the entire country and says that Milwaukee's a horrible, horrible city. And the interesting thing about that is, you can probably guess, and if you can't, I'm going to tell you anyway, who lives in Milwaukee. Of course, a lot of people live in Milwaukee, but a big part of the Milwaukee population is, guess what? You know, the people that supposedly love Donald Trump now and will vote for him in gigantic numbers like they've never done before because he is such a good person. Who am I talking about? Talking about black people in Milwaukee. And everybody knows, as Reverend Al Sharpton said today very accurately, that this isn't even a dog whistle. This is just a flat-out statement of, we hate black people. Now, you know he does. He's already told you that immigrants coming from Africa, they're black, that immigrants coming from Africa are poisoning the blood of America. So, you know, you get it. You understand who that is. That's a Donald Trump, I don't like black people story, but he says it in a way which he thinks cleverly avoids him having to say what the Q people want to hear. We don't like black people. I mean, I'm sure Donald would love to get out here and start talking about how we can overturn Brown versus Board of Education. Why not? All you end up with is lots of black people in schools. We can stop that. Donald knows how to do it. Just like he's trying to stop a whole lot of things out here. Stop Miranda. Stop everything. All of the changes that came out of the Warren court, just toss them. Because Donald's got a better idea. And you know what that is. Everything he touches dies. Just like his stock. Oh, yeah, that great company of his. Plunging out of sight. What we need to do is we need to take bets. Is that illegal? I'm not sure. But at any rate, we need to try to decide ahead of time what day the Trump media company, whatever that is, sells for $1 a share. Right now, 37 was up to, what did it bounce to on that dead cat bounce? I think that was a 49, maybe. Maybe right around 50. Anyway, back to 37, down $3 today, which on his birthday was quite a present. A negative $400 million. Good work, Donald. Keep it up. So now in the meantime, here he is talking about Milwaukee. And he has done the Democrats a favor that will just keep giving. And the reason I say that is because under some circumstances, you could say something and then it sort of trails off into nowhere and then no one brings it up anymore. Ha! Huh. You can trust they're going to bring this one up. They're going to bring this up every day in the White House. They're going to bring it up in Wisconsin, where, believe me, they are angry. You think Wisconsin's jumping up and down? We like being called names by Donald Trump at the very moment that he's coming to our largest city and he's going to try to make like he's the new king of the United States in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee. And he's going to do that while he's talking against, number one, Milwaukee, number two, urban environments. And of course, one of the things that they'll say, which they're saying already, in fact, when I say they, Republicans. Republicans are backing up Donald Trump on this story about how Milwaukee is a horrible city by explaining that crime is surging in Milwaukee out of control. That's a good one. I mean, it's only been the last couple of days when I've been emphasizing over and over the fact that people in the United States believe that crime is surging to a 50-year high. That's 75% in the Gallup poll. They think that, crime is rising rapidly. Well, it turns out that these Republicans are actually right. Well, in a way. Because they're saying, they're talking about surging. There is a surge. Unfortunately, for Donald and his people, the surge only works if you're standing on your head, you know, upside down. Because, in fact, crime in Milwaukee over the last year has dropped 39%. I guess Donald picked the wrong year to run out here and to start his ranting against black people in Milwaukee, which are, by the way, the people that he thinks are going to vote for him in numbers like we've never seen before. Well, I've said 8%, which actually happens to be the number that the Republican Party always gets. And after Biden and the Democrats and the media and Wisconsin and the people in Milwaukee, after all of these get through repeating over and over again from now until November that Donald thinks that Milwaukee is a horrible city, then you tell me what kind of black vote Donald Trump is going to get. It's not going to be too good, Donald. It may be a birthday present for you next June when they create a plaque for you. Something like the lowest percentage ever received of black vote. And then I'll look wrong because I'll have said 8%. It'll come in at 5%. And the 5% who vote for him will be the 5% not listening to the news ever. So they just won't know that Donald's out here saying these things. And believe me, he's saying them all the time. Okay. So I wonder if there's a jail they can put him in Milwaukee. Now, that would be the appropriate thing for Mershon to do. Find a prison in Milwaukee where you can stuff Trump and let him sit there in what he thinks is a horrible city. Milwaukee. Just terrible. Horrible. I'm not even going to say the word that he uses for these cities that he considers to be black cities that are filled with crime, despite the fact that Milwaukee's crime rate collapsed last year, 39% decline. Oh, Donald's really got this under control. He knows what he's talking about. What a genius. Okay. He would be a smart man, however. He would be. He's not, because I'm sure he's never gone there. But he would be a smart man if he went out to eat at Wendy's. Now, Wendy's is at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. And they've got everything that Donald probably likes to eat. Look at him. He doesn't just eat a little bit. He eats everything at a place like Wendy's. That sort of packs that weight on, you know. It's not healthy, Donald. But at any rate, they've got smoked meat. They've got wings, they've got patty melts, and they've got hamburgers and cheeseburgers. They've got pizza and salad and great drinks. And I saved my best until last. They've got baby back ribs, and they've got onion rings. And I can tell you that on a day that I feel like splurging, I will head straight to Wendy's and get myself some baby back ribs and onion rings because I love them. It's really great food. Great food in a great restaurant with terrific atmosphere, super people running the place. Ben and his wife who created this whole thing and make it work, they're often over there. And for sure, they've got a menu for you that you're going to love. Go check it out at Wendy's. You're going to love it. The food is great, and it's at 18,000 Chesterfield Airport Road. And, of course, it is now also in Defiance, Missouri, where the people there are very defiant. And that's good. I like Defiance. I like the place. I like the people if they're defiant. And then I also love Wendy's. Check them out. Wendy's in Defiance as well. Now, if you want jewelry, and I guess, I don't know, on Father's Day, do you buy jewelry? Maybe not. I don't know if fathers like jewelry. I'm going to have to find out about that one. But I know if it were Mother's Day, you would definitely want to go because I know women love jewelry. I don't know if men do. Maybe they do. Maybe there's, you know, something that we now call bling. And men do that. So that Let's get that straight, Case. And it's probably good that way, too. So anyway, you want to go to Jewels on Hampton. That's where you want to go. 4506 Hampton. And you're going to find Al. You're going to find AJ, his son, father and son. And they take care of this entire store. And it is big. Lots of jewelry everywhere. Cases filled with jewelry. All you got to do is go there, walk through the place. You can check it all out. They have tons of things. Bargains? Sure. But just great, great jewelry. So go check that out. Jewels on Hampton. They buy and sell coins and jewelry at great prices for the public. And then on top of it all, if you go in there and you've got yourself a really fine watch and you want it repaired, well, then you've gone to the right place. Because Jewels on Hampton will repair your watch, and they'll do it well, and they'll keep that heirloom, maybe, or whatever it is, something great that you love, they'll keep that running so that you know what time it is on the day when Donald goes to jail. Jewels on Hampton, 4506 Hampton. Now, here's what I know you can do on Father's Day. And you're going to love this. You go to the corner of Forsyth and Central in Clayton, where they have the St. Louis Suit Company. Because the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton has everything that Dad could possibly want. Sport coats, because sport coats, I'm told, are now tremendously in fashion. They also have shirts, shoes, overcoats for the winter. Now, there are new ones coming in soon enough, but if you want the really good bargain prices in the summer, you can get over an overcoat at the St. Louis Suit Company. And here's the best. You want to get somebody a present, a father. You want to get a present for a father. So here's what you do. You go to the St. Louis Suit Company, and you don't just buy a tie. I mean, you can buy five ties. And five ties will cost you $20. And you go to some father with five beautiful ties from the St. Louis Suit Company. And that dad is going to look at you and think, wow, you spent an enormous amount of money on me. You must really love me. And all of that for $20. So it's the St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton, Forsyth and Central. And don't forget, they've been there for 29 years. It's not an accident. They really know what they're doing. Jay and Nick at the St. Louis Suit Company. And remember that if you're getting married or you know somebody who is getting married, the St. Louis Suit Company is the place to go for wedding attire. They are phenomenal. They do this as one of their main things that they're involved in. And you will be pleased because they'll take very, very good care of your wedding needs. Again, St. Louis Suit Company in Clayton. Okay. So many other great things today. Actually, I've got something here. I think I could do this while I'm on the air because, you know, I'm comfortable. I'm not afraid to do this. I want to send this to Joe, and he'll put this up on the screen for us. Assuming that I can find it. So let's see what I've got here. Where is this picture? You know, it must be on my other phone. And that's okay too. Hang on. Let's pull the other phone out. Okay. So take a quick look. Oh, there it is. Okay. There we are. And it's called, this is the headline and the big picture. in the New York Post today, and it is called, headlined, giant headline, it is called Meander in Chief. But let me see if I can figure out how to send this to him, which I should be able to do instantly, because I should be able to push something here that says share. Come on, Kaysen, wake up. Share. Oh, there we go. Share. Okay, so now the only thing I've got to do is find Joe's telephone number. So let's see if I've got that on here. And I think the next thing I'm going to find out is that it might be on the other phone, but that's all right, because I know how to access this anyway. I'm going to spend the entire rest of the show playing with this. But I think this is worth seeing, and I really wanted to show it earlier anyway, and I just forgot to do it. So let's look for contacts. So if I can go into contacts, then I can find it, because I've got Joe on here. And there might be another way to do it, but I'm not that smart. How about more? There we go. Boy, I'll tell you, these phones are amazingly intuitive. Okay, so let's go to gallery just once. Done. And we're going to send that to Joe, if I can find it. Hang on a second. This is a shame that I'm not this smart. You'd think I would be. Okay, so that didn't work. Well, one more second, I'm going to try it. And if I can't do it, that'll be too bad for me. So let's go back here. Hit share. Click that. Come on, Joe. Here's contacts. Okay. And that's stupid. Okay, save copy. Let's see. Okay, this is the last chance. If this works, then it works. So, you know, I'm smart enough to pick up, to go on here and get Joe. This will teach me a lesson. Don't play with it on the air. Do this at home. Here we go. There's Joe. And there it is. But guess what? What I want to send isn't there. Okay. I give up. Anyway, here's where we are. Yeah, it's an image, Joe. And it's actually the whole front page of the paper. In fact, I'll tell you what you could do. You want to walk over here a second? Oh, did you find it?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay. So Joe found it because he's smarter than I am. And he's going to put it up. And this is great. And it's really important, too. Or else I wouldn't have spent that time doing this. There it is. Okay. Thank you, Joe. That's great. So Meander in Chief. And what it says is that Biden embarrasses the United States. Get this thing out of my way here. There we go. Biden embarrasses U.S. with confused wanderings at World Conference. And they've got Joe. You can see him there. He looks like he's just sort of wandering. He doesn't know where he is. He's looking up in the sky like something might be up there. He doesn't even know what he's doing. He's lost. Except, this is the thing that I was talking about 2 days ago, that they've got three different videos that show all of this, and they've been doctored. So you've got the New York Post publishing materials, which everybody knows have been doctored. Now, there's one other key point to this. Look at the picture where Joe is looking up in the sky as if he's lost and doesn't know what he's doing. Only one problem. He's actually looking at the sky because there are people parachuting out of planes and he's watching them come down. And so was everybody because it was part of the proceedings. You remember this is the whole D-Day celebration. And so they're looking at these people who are parachuting out of the sky in the same way that the soldiers were parachuting in 1944. And he was looking in the sky. And so was everybody else. And so they send this out. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. So they send this out for everybody to see so they can say over and over that Joe Biden is lost and doesn't know anything and he's very ill, mentally deranged and all of that. And the whole point is there was nothing in that event that was wrong or even bizarre or weird or anything. What he was doing was what everybody else was doing, and it was appropriate to the event. People coming out of the airplanes in parachutes, and he was looking up at them. Unbelievable. So, you know, when you wonder why people like me look at all of this and think that this is one big, giant Donald Trump grift. Well, for good reason. Because that's what we've really been given here. One big, giant Donald Trump grift. Okay. So let's finish with Ukraine. Because, you know, there's some great things going on in Ukraine. And there are some crazy things that are going on that are connected to Ukraine, and all of it spells really bad stuff for Donald. Gee, what a surprise. So in the first place, the United States, which I mentioned yesterday, made a deal with Ukraine. They signed this defense agreement, and it's a 10-year defense agreement that says that for the next 10 years, the United States is going to protect and defend Ukraine. Now, we can't do it under NATO because they're not in NATO. And it's not a treaty because we can't get the Senate to sign on to all this. But it's an agreement and it's valid. And here we go. Now, it could be reversed by another president, but if it were, there would be a big fight over it for sure. But that's if there were another president from a different party, and I've already explained to you, that is nowhere close to happening. So, not after Milwaukee. Thank Milwaukee. That's the end of Trump, among other things, including women. But let's also say this. Vladimir Putin came up with a brilliant plan as part of all of this. This is because this is his retaliation. He's angry. He's angry at a couple of things. He's angry because there are $50 billion of Russian money that have been set aside, and the United States has now agreed that we're going to take the interest from the $50 billion. And we're going to turn it over to Ukraine so that the money that was Vladimir Putin's that's been confiscated is now going to become income, almost, for Ukrainians in order to fight back. In truth, it's a loan. So they're going to have to pay back the loan. But it won't matter. The United States will help pay that back. So, you know, there's not going to be a problem there. You realize that when Ukraine has succeeded in beating back the Russians with our help, with our weapons. The United States is going to pour more money into Ukraine than anybody could ever imagine rebuilding it. I've told people, if you think about, if you're young and you're thinking about a career and you're thinking that maybe you would like to be somewhere where really interesting things are going to be happening, you ought to be thinking about Ukraine. Because in the years ahead, in the decades ahead, we're going to pour so much money into Ukraine, we're going to turn that place into a palace for good people who have fought back against the worst people on the planet, sort of mirroring Donald Trump's idol, Adolf Hitler. And let's not forget that Putin is pretty funny, actually, because in addition to being angry over the money situation, he has proclaimed a new peace initiative. So this is the peace initiative from Vladimir Putin. He has acquired some property that he got illegally from Ukraine. They've fought over it, and he's got some of it. And what he wants is he wants Ukraine to turn over to him all four provinces involved in these areas that he has acquired temporarily, for sure. And so what they're going to do is they're going to take these areas, according to him, Putin, and they're going to give it to him. And these are areas that he doesn't even have any connection to right now. He does not have them. He hasn't got those four provinces, but he wants them. So he's saying, if you give me those four provinces, I'll declare peace. So, of course, everybody said today that if Volodymyr Zelensky were to do such a thing, what they'd do to him, I don't even want to tell you. They're not doing it. That's not even something being discussed. But here's what it is. It's a message to Donald from his puppet master, telling him very simply, get elected president and then turn over to me the four provinces, and then exactly what you have said you would do will come to reality. Because you know that Donald has said that he can end the war in Ukraine in 24 hours. And Putin has now told him that, in fact, he can end the war in Ukraine in 24 hours. All he has to do is take four provinces, a gigantic area of Ukraine, take the four provinces, turn them over to the Russians, and peace will be at hand, as Neville Chamberlain would have said back in 1938. So the bottom line is here, the puppet master has given orders to the puppet, and if Donald were ever president, which he won't be, he could implement those. And then, as I've called Donald this from the start, way back, Benedict Donald. I think that's just perfect. Still is. Fits like a glove, you know, like in the OJ case. Okay, and he is a criminal, so that's, you know, it's a good thing to think about. Anyway, it's the end of the week. It's the end of Friday. It's the end of Donald, because Milwaukee is never going to let him forget what he did on his birthday. Donald's birthday in Milwaukee, it won't end well. And don't forget the present that Donald got today, a really fine present. If you're standing on your head, he lost $400 million because that junk company of his is crashing. Okay, I'm out of here. This is Showdown. Don't forget, St. Louis Suit Company, Wendy's, Jules on Hampton. I'm Mark Kaysen. This is Showdown. Good night.